United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. That's one small step for international trade, and it was one giant lead foot for global environmental policy yesterday. Speaking from the White House Rose Garden, President Trump announced his decision to pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement. The voluntary agreement represented some hard-won common ground between China and the United States and was a signature achievement of the Obama administration. But the president mostly poked fun at that yesterday.
At what point does America get demeaned? At what point do they start laughing at us as a country? We want fair treatment for its citizens, and we want fair treatment for our taxpayers. We don't want other leaders and other countries laughing at us anymore, and they won't be. They won't be.
There was considerable reaction from world leaders. French President Emmanuel Macron chose to speak in French and English. He wasn't laughing, and he told the American people directly not to expect some new agreement, despite what the U.S. president was saying.
I call on you to remain confident. We will succeed, because we are fully committed. Because wherever we live, whoever we are, we all share the same responsibility. Make our planet great again.
A hubris Danish Prime Minister Lars Rasmussen tweeted, "It's a sad day for the world." And Prime Minister Theresa May, quote, expressed her disappointment with the decision and stressed that the UK remained committed to the Paris Agreement. In his remarks, President Trump said his heart is with the people who elected him, not a bunch of foreigners.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
But Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto noted yesterday that the city voted majority Democratic, not Republican. Quote, the United States joined Syria, Nicaragua, and Russia, the mayor said, in deciding not to participate with the world's Paris Agreement. It's now up to cities to lead, he said. Policy analysts, world leaders, and corporate heads disputed virtually every job number the president cited yesterday, his energy calculations, and how much this would all cost the U.S. and benefit the supposedly laughing rest of the 195 nations in the agreement. Joining me now is Christine Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey from 1994 to 01, and EPA administrator under President George W. Bush from 01 to 2003. She said she wasn't very surprised by the president's announcement yesterday.
Well, he sent all the signals and said he was going to do it, and particularly in his budget and all the cuts to EPA. So I wasn't terribly surprised. And then yesterday when he reversed himself on moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that said to me he's absolutely going to get out of Paris, because that was one promise he backed off on for his base. And so he had to offset it with another one. So I was not surprised at the final decision.
Does he perceive that backing away from Paris is a low-hanging fruit, is an easy one for him compared with some of these others, like the moving of the Jerusalem embassy, NAFTA, TPP, that sort of thing?
Yes, I think this one was an easy one for him. And the way he described it yesterday in his speech in the Rose Garden, you can understand why. I mean, his speech was inaccurate in many, many ways, particularly the number of jobs that would be lost. In fact, it can be a job creator. The statistics he was using were from a study that had been largely debunked. But he certainly made a compelling argument if you believe all the statistics that he was putting out there.
Toward the end of his remarks, the president seemed to suggest that the money being used to partially pay this $3 billion commitment was, in fact, I think he used the word, robbed from our money to fight terrorism in the United States. What was your reaction to that?
Money is fungible. You can claim that money spent on anything was taken from whatever program you love and you don't think has enough money. It was not taken from that. He's proposing to take a lot of money from a lot of programs that help a lot of people, and you know, you could come after them for that. So that's not where it came from.
You seem to suggest, based on your experience, and you have direct experience with this, that nations are inclined to be very happy that the U.S. was joining a cooperative consensus on climate change, whereas Trump characterized that is, in fact, they were laughing at us. Do you think that perhaps the opposite is true, that they're more inclined to laugh at us after they get over calculating the negatives that perhaps this agreement will or this decision will produce?
Well, a lot of them are in shock. They just are saying, what has happened to the United States? Because what we've done, John, is effectively taken ourselves off the world stage as a leader. And in spite of all the ups and downs that we've had, the rest of the world, particularly the democratic nations, look to the United States. They need a strong United States. They wanted to see us as a leader. And we're basically saying, look, science says this is a big problem. You all think this is a big problem. We don't. So goodbye. We don't have a place at the table anymore. And we're not going to be able to influence not just discussions and policies vis-a-vis climate, but we're losing ground every which way. And nature abhors a vacuum. China has already stepped up and said to the European Union, we're going to start even more negotiations to get us to this place. We are going to take leadership. We're going to develop the new technologies. We're going to be the ones that are going to sell them. And I think that this actually could have an adverse effect very directly on American businesses, even though they might be doing the right thing, because many of them are. And what the others are going to say is, I'm sorry, you're from the United States. We're going to put a tariff on anything you import.
What do you say to people who say, oh, gosh, Christine Todd Whitman, she, like Nancy Pelosi, misread the American people on this question of climate change? They may put it down on their bucket list of stuff they'd love to see happen sometime before they die, but they're certainly not going to go to the voting booth and make any decision based on climate change if it means the loss of jobs, and that you're misreading the domestic politics in the United States.
Well, first of all, that's the wrong analogy. You don't lose jobs. Between 1990 and 2008, in the United States of America, our population grew by over 20%. Our use of energy grew by over 35%. We more than doubled our actual GDP, and yet we reduced our six criteria pollutants by over 67%. We did an amazing job of cutting pollution while growing our economy. So this idea that you cannot have a clean and green environment and a healthy, thriving economy is just wrong. And in fact, the other side is what's right, is that you cannot have a thriving economy without a healthy lifestyle for people. We lose 200,000 people a year who die in this country from dirty airborne related causes. That alone should make us want to address these issues. Carbon, mercury, those are pollutants. And those are part of greenhouse gases. If we adjust it and look at the issue that way from a direct human health impact, never mind these ever-increasing, ever more severe storms that we're seeing, which no good scientist will say that particular storm was because of climate change, but this is what they tell you to expect. We've got a host of reasons why we should want to take steps to reduce our polluting.
Christine Todd Whitman was governor of New Jersey from 1994 to 2001 and EPA administrator under President George W. Bush from 01 to 2003, now president of the Whitman Strategy Group. Christine Todd Whitman, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to talk to you again.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, the former CEO and chairman of ExxonMobil, was among those in the president's cabinet who advised against his decision to leave the Paris Accord. Exxon has been a champion of new energy technologies like low-emission fuels and carbon capture. What is the corporate view of a decision like this? Well, Alice Korngold, president of Korngold Consulting, who advises companies like Dow Chemical and Johnson Controls, says there's no one answer, but based on her extensive research, companies are way out ahead of the government on this one.
Companies are driven by markets, by the marketplace, and supply and demand. And the marketplace is demanding innovation and solutions for climate change. The research for my book has shaped my thinking, actually altered my thinking about companies and their roles in solving global problems. When I finished all the research, what shocked me was a conclusion, and I finished the writing in 2013, that only multinational corporations can solve our greatest challenges. It actually kind of stunned me. But what I realized from the research is that companies are responding, are dealing with market forces. They have the global footprint and they have the vast resources.
So far from being a progressive, pro-corporate decision to pull out of the climate agreement, in fact, the Trump agreement would represent something that is not only at odds with the consensus that you found among private sector companies who are working with nonprofits, it just further places the government outside of the problem-solving sector in this particular instance.
Exactly. Companies have many stakeholders, so investors, customers, which is sometimes other industries and other companies, employees, communities, nonprofits. So they have many stakeholders that they have to address. And the companies that are succeeding are the ones that are innovating and finding solutions. Our pulling out of the Paris Agreement it puts companies in our U.S. companies in jeopardy with regard to trade. The EU and China could issue tariffs and other obstacles to trade. We will be at a loss in terms of innovation, with the White House already cutting back in investing in research through NASA and the EPA. Companies have been on a steady march to energy efficiency, renewable energy. It's cost effective, and it's the best investment of their infrastructure for the long term and the future. So this decision creates obstacles for companies.
Finally, it's one thing for Rex Tillerson, former CEO of Exxon in the energy business, to talk about this agreement, and some other people like Elon Musk to be critical. He's, in a business that falls kind of directly into the middle of all of this. But what does it say that the CEO of Disney, Bob Iger, has essentially distanced himself from Donald Trump?
I think any company that deals in the global marketplace understands that global market forces are driving their strategies. And whether it's cars or chemicals or any other
theme parks.
Yeah. Whatever it is, and every industry relies on energy, companies will need to be addressing the interests and regulations in countries worldwide. And we are now the outlier. And it's like car manufacturers. They're selling cars around the world. They're not going to suddenly manufacture fuel-inefficient cars because we're pulled out of the Paris Agreement.
Alice Korngold is president of Korngold Consulting. She advises companies like Dow Chemical and Johnson Controls. Author of the book she referenced, A Better World Incorporated, How Companies Profit by Solving Global Problems Where Governments Cannot. Thanks so much, Alice.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.